The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up to his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are again. All Saints Sunday. Affirmation of Baptism Sunday. I love that this congregation celebrates these two events on the same day. We rejoice that we remember all the saints who have gone before us. We remember all of our foundations, those people who have taught us the faith, who have guided us in the faith, who have suffered for the course of their faith, all the way back to the apostles. We remember those who have died in the faith most recently and who now rest from their labors. But we rejoice that as we celebrate this Sunday of all the saints, that one does not have to be designated a saint, as it were, in the Church of our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. That's a long process to become a saint. There need to be miracles. There need to be teachings. There need to be attributes. There need to be a long host of proofs that you lived a saintly life. For us today, I'd like to share a definition from one of my professors at Luther Sem. He wrote, "You know, most often in common everyday language, the word saint is reserved for the most pious, the moral overachiever whose examples most of us could never hope to duplicate." That's a pretty long stretch for us sinners. But for God, there is only one condition required for sainthood. If Christ thinks you are a saint, if Christ has said your sins are forgiven, if Christ has said you are baptized in my name, if Christ has said this is my body given for you, then you are a saint. It's from Jim Nestigan. If Christ thinks you're a saint, if he said your sins are forgiven, you are baptized in my name, and this is my body given for you, you are a saint. Welcome, saints. This is your day. And it's been just about exactly 1 year since I stopped a sermon for a train. And so what do we do with that good news that we are all saints? Well, I think first of all, we rejoice. We rejoice that God has chosen us despite our sinfulness, despite our inabilities, and sometimes even because of them, to choose us, humble humans, to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's written all over our scripture lessons for today, even from crazy old Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, where it's written, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. And as if forever weren't enough, he says, forever and ever. Forever. Forever and ever. The holy ones. The ones who receive the promise. The ones who hear the promise, believe the promise, trust the promise, and in gratitude, serve the promise. And again, in Ephesians, in Christ, you have obtained the inheritance. Listen carefully. You have obtained the inheritance. This is language that Jesus uses all the time. Jesus doesn't ever say, you earned the kingdom. Good job, you. Jesus said, I have called you by name. You are mine. And because you are mine, you have obtained the inheritance. And Ephesians goes on and fulfills these baptismal language imageries that you all maybe remember from the day these girls came to the baptismal font, marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Do you remember those words? In holy baptism, God has claimed these three girls and each of us, and at the font, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, before they were old enough to know right from wrong, before they were old enough to know the Ten Commandments, which now they can put in order quite well, before they were old enough to understand that they belonged to the church, they belonged to the church. They belonged to God. They became inheritors of the eternal kingdom in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then, after they were named and claimed, the pastor said, child of God, you've been signed, sealed, and delivered. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked by the cross of Christ. forever. And forever and ever. That's a long time. Now, today we celebrate a rite of passage for our freshmen in high school, fresh women in high school, actually. But the promises hold true for each one of us. Over the course of a lifetime, we're going to get muddied up in sin. And we're going to have regrets. We're going to do things that we wish we wouldn't have done. But in Christ, we always have that opportunity to turn around. That's what the word repent is, to turn around. To look back to Jesus. To say, I forgot where my anchor was, but I want to be held by you again, dear Jesus. And God always accepts us back. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, when we turn back to God, God doesn't say, where have you been? God says, welcome back. As part of our living the Christian faith, we have today in front of us the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Luke. Now, those of you who have been reading the Bible regularly know that there's a little bit of a difference between the Beatitudes in Luke and the Beatitudes in Matthew. Matthew's Beatitudes are all about blessed are you when, blessed are. But in Luke, there's blessing and woe. And the ones who are blessed are the ones who have marks of pain on them. Blessed are the poor and the hungry and the weeping and the defamed. Blessed are you because God sees your pain. God knows your struggles. But Luke gives us the reverse, as Luke tends to do. Luke says, be careful if life is going too well for you. Because maybe that's the reward you're going to get. Maybe if everybody's speaking well of you, maybe you're not challenging people enough. Maybe if you're full now, there are hungry people that you don't see. And then Luke goes on to make it really, really hard. He says, love your enemies. This is not Luke, of course. This is Jesus. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes away your coat, don't even withhold your shirt. This is countercultural. There's no culture anywhere that says these are the things that we are supposed to do. This is Jesus cultural. And this, my friends, points us to the promises that we're going to be asking three high school students to make in just a little while. In the promises of confirmation, we say, you've made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God and Christ through word and deed, and to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? Now, we all know that's a lot. to be asking of a ninth grader. And for heaven's sakes, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth, we're asking them to be part of the Justice League. But that is exactly what God is asking each of us to do. God says, your reward is higher than the ones that the earth gives you. Your authority is higher than any authority on here on earth. Your sense of identity comes from a power above and outside any identity that the earth is ever going to give you. You belong to God. And as these girls answer these questions today, they do not answer them alone. They answer them in a community of faith that supports and encourages them, that sees this not as a graduation, but as a rite of passage. That we're remembering the day that their parents and their sponsors brought them to the waters of baptism and made those promises for them. And now they're saying, I'd like to take the training wheels off, but I'm still going to need a lot of help. And that's what Christian community is helping our young faithful ones take the training wheels off. We don't let them drive by themselves. We don't expect that they're going to be able, we don't expect anybody's going to be able to do this by themselves. And that's where it is so important and so delightful that this is the Sunday of All the Saints. All the saints that are sitting in the pew today, all the saints that are sitting in pews all over churches, all over the world today, all the saints who have gone before us in faith, and certainly we remember those saints, the grandparents and the great-grandparents and the great-great-grandparents who had something to do with the fact that we're sitting here today. There's a prayer in the funeral liturgy that says, help us when we have trouble understanding the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. We ask that today because it's a wonder greater than ourselves that allows us to be in the presence of God and one another, knowing that we strive for greater things, but we know that God is with us, cheering us on, encouraging us, forgiving us, blessing us. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.